will be one eternal day without a sorrow. And the morning when he calls, I'll move away. If I knew of a land where my dreams would all come true, where the things of life were free and there'd be no work to do, where no war e'er would come and we'd live in peace for aye, I would sell all I have and move today. Well, I know of a land where joys are waiting, where the people
mention right quickly, we need those wine petitions in for you men that have not got them in. Brother Jack, we need them quick. Time has come for us to turn them in. If anybody hasn't got them in, need them in. Also, Brother Steve has revival tapes made, finished. And any of you tonight that ordered tapes from the revival of Brother Ed, you need to pick those up. They'll be in here over here tonight. And if you know someone who doesn't come here to church, but you maybe see them, tell them their tapes are ready. Won't you be praying, Brother Gene, at their church this week, be having revival, Brother Fred Potter, and also maybe some other revivals going on around here. They're going to be having a special service for Brother Fred Saturday night at the Tabernacle in Spruce Pine, Brother Luther Carver. Also, our Bible conference will be coming up in January, January 23rd. We'll have two preachers each night, looking forward to it, and this will be our fifth annual Bible conference in the winter, so we're looking forward to it, and you come praying and be praying about that during this time. Psalm 23. Now, if you've been with us, we've been preaching on the 23rd Psalm on Sunday nights. We've came down through verse number 4, four Sunday nights. Tonight we'll be looking at verse 5. You begin to see a lot of comparisons in this psalm and just all kinds of hidden treasures and wisdom and types, and it amazes me. One of the sure ways I know the Bible is the Word of God is because how the Lord uses things like this. You'll notice that the Lord used illustrations that don't change. If man was writing a book right now, he would write about illustrations of trains and cars and stuff. And if it was 2,000 years later, people wouldn't even know what he's talking about. But the illustrations of the Bible are about things that never change. Seed coming up. Cows, horses. The seasons, the change in the fall, the winter. And God knew this thing was how long it was going to be here. And so that's why he did it that way. He could have just used illustrations of that day that we couldn't understand nowadays. But of course, the Lord, in using foreknowledge and foresight, didn't do that. And so he compares his people to a sheep and he to our shepherd. So we're looking at that tonight. Let's read the entire psalm beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Now think about it. You're one of his sheep. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now if you'll remember, we gave you the four requirements that a sheep must have before they can lie down. A sheep won't lie down and rest unless four requirements are met. They can't be hungry. They can't be fussing and fighting with each other. They have got to be free from bugs and flies and ticks and things that aggravate them. And they've got to have a good relationship between them and the shepherd. And these and other things are requirements before a sheep can lay down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Remember, we talked about that. He restoreth my soul. We talked about how a sheep can become cast and flip over and land on its back in a ditch. And it's called a cast sheep. And it's helpless, just laying there with its feet sticking up in the air. And it can't get out by itself, so the shepherd comes with his crook and jerks it out and sets it back up. When you mess up your life and backslide, you can't get right by yourself. The Lord has to pick you up. I could leave the 99, brings that one on his shoulder, and brings it back to the fold. And then he said, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. We talked about death as a shadow. And as death I will fear no evil. For thou with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that's what we talked about the last time we brought these messages. The rod and the staff. Now verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now you get the word, you get the thought. I don't know how you feel about it. When I read that verse, my mind pictures a bunch of people sitting around a great big table and food all over the table and their enemies all the way around them with knives and clubs and spears just wanting to kill them, but the Lord's got a fence around them and they're just sitting there eating, calm, laughing, cutting up, fellowshipping with each other, and the enemy's out there around the side just trying its best to get to them, but they can't. That's where picture goes in my mind. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege and opportunity that we have once again, Lord, to be able to bow here in your presence and call you our Father. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the Word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, piercing, knowing as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Our Father, tonight, we ask you, Lord, that you would anoint this thy servant tonight. We realize and know that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes and does the work. God, we know that tonight, and these people know that, and they know we're nothing but a mere man, and God can't do nothing without you. So we pray, O Lord, that the power of God may rest upon these lips of clay and give us Holy Ghost thinking. Lord, that we may speak the Word of God with boldness, not be afraid, not be ashamed, to declare the Word of God without fear, without favor, without partiality, without hypocrisy, without compromise. May your will be done in this service. Open our eyes, Lord. May we behold wondrous things out of thy word. Save that one which is lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's look again with me, if you would, at verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now what we've been doing every one of these verses is dividing it into two parts. That's what we're going to do tonight. The first part is, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Let's look at just that half of verse number 5 tonight, briefly. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, keep in mind that Psalm 23 represents one entire year in the life of a sheep. Now, if you weren't here the other night when I mentioned that, it's like this. They start out in the spring. They leave the ranch house, and the sheep come across the valleys there and walk across the fields and eat the green grass. Then, as summer comes into being, they begin their trip up the mountains and up on the top of the mountain. They spend the summertime up on the top, or tablelands, and after they get up there on the top, they graze and graze and graze, and then the early fall snows fall on top of the mountains first and drive the sheep back down the hill. Now, by the time they get back down, it's winter time. They stay at the ranch all winter, and then the next spring, they start the entire process again. Sheep are not like dogs or horses or cows. They can't stay in the same pasture all the time. They'd ruin it. They'd just eat it up. I mean, they'd just pick it to the bone. Wouldn't be nothing left but dirt. And so sheep have to keep moving. They have to keep grazing. They have to have fresh food and fresh places to graze off of, or they'll not be a healthy flock. Now, here we are in Psalm 23 and verse 5. We're up in the mountains now. We started out there in those green pastures in verse number 2, and we led us by the still waters there, and then we walked through those valleys. We come up through those mountains in verse number 4. Now, by the time we get to verse 5, we are up on top of the mountains, and the shepherd has led the flock
up on top. Still, David is speaking as one of God's sheep. Keep in mind that the sheep are up here on the high summer ranges. These ranges on mountains are called Alp lands or table lands. Now, the reason they call them table lands is because you've got a great big mountain. You got just a higher on this one, Steve. You've got great big mountains coming up like this. And the mountains are shaped like this. And then right on top of the mountain, it'll be just as level as a table. Just like this one right here. And up there, there's grazing and green grass. And those sheep go up there, and they're just right on top of a mountain on those table lands. And it's like that song says that we sing, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. By faith on heaven's table land. I need to stand on higher ground. We're speaking as one of God's sheep and saying, Lord, I want you to put my feet up on higher ground. I want to get up on the mountaintop. I tell you tonight, I don't know about you folks, but I'm not satisfied living an old, normal, defeated Christian life. I tell you, these days, the average Christian is so abnormal, if a Christian ever got normal, people would think he is abnormal. Do you know that? If a Christian nowadays really tries to live by the Bible, people think he's a fool, some kind of fanatic, or an idiot, or they'll call you a legalist, or they'll call you everything in the world just trying to live by the Word of God. They'll make up all kinds of names to brand you with. They'll even call you a Pharisee. And I know there is certain type of those that are, the Phariseeism is wrong. But listen, folks, there's nothing wrong with trying to live just as close to Jesus as you possibly can. It ought to be the desire of every Christian in this room to want to live up on higher ground with the Lord. You ought not to be satisfied dwelling down in the valley. You ought not to be satisfied just an old run-of-the-mill, I'm saved, so what, what to do, never read your Bible, never get any prayers answered. You ought not to be satisfied if that's the way your life is. When Lord saved me, He put a desire in me to want to see God, want to see Him work, want to see my prayers answered. I want to see something besides what this world's got to offer. I've seen what this world's got to offer, and it can't satisfy. I'd like to see God do something, wouldn't you? Something that you can't explain outside of God. And we need to ask God to put us up on the tableland. Now listen, before the trip is made, here's the key to understanding the first part of verse number 5. Here's the key. Up there on the mountains, and up through those valleys, even down around on those beaches, there are grazing lands for them sheep. But now listen, there's things in those grasslands that'll kill every sheep in the bunch. There's poison weeds. And there's all kinds of poison flowers that grow in those things up in those pastures. And if a sheep eat one of them, it'd kill it. So here's what the shepherd does. He keeps the sheep down here in the valley, and he leaves the shepherd boy to watch him or something, and he goes ahead of them and prepares a table. Now, when he gets up there, he looks around, he sees that grass, he's got a shepherd's eye and a shepherd's mind, and he looks and he says, uh-oh, there's a poison weed. And he goes over here and jerks that weed up. And he goes over there and says, there's a poison weed. And he jerks that weed up. They call them camas. There's white camas and blue camas, a flower that is really pretty. Now, that's significant. Keep that in your mind. They're pretty, but they're poison. They'll kill you. And, brother, these flowers bloom out real good in the spring on the beach. Can you believe that? How much plainer do you want it? Listen, folks. Them poison things come out in the spring and they're on the beach. That's a blessing, ain't it? I didn't write that, brother. That's what the man said who's a scientist, shepherd, preacher, pastor, layman. And so he said, these things grow in the feed places. And brother, they're dangerous. They're poison. They're pretty, but they're poison. There's a lot of little things in this world that are just as pretty and just as attractive and just as cute as they can be, but they're deadly poison. They'll kill you spiritually. They'll take your heart away from God. They'll cause you to live for the devil and ruin, damn your soul in hell if you don't turn to Jesus and put your faith and trust in Him. Now listen, the shepherd went up above them and he went out there and boy, he pulled out all the poison weeds. You know what he's doing? He is preparing a table for them sheep in the presence of them sheep's enemies. Them sheep's got all kinds of enemies there. Poison wheat, and a sheep's so dumb they don't know the difference. And brother, shepherd's got to do it for them. Shepherd's got to point out to them what they can't eat and clear the way, because sheep don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between a weed and grass. They don't know the difference. They're just dumb. They just blah, 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 eating everything they come across. So the shepherd, I say, them poor dumb sheep, they'd never want to be dead if I didn't look out for them. And boy, you know that's kind of humbling to them modern educated Christians in our day. We'd all be dead if the Lord wasn't looking out for us. I want to tell you something tonight. You may have a Ph.D. That stands for post-hole diggers. You may have a D.D. enough degree behind your name to pop a thermometer, brother. But if God didn't take care of you and keep you out of sin, you'd be backslid out there in the gutter drunk tomorrow night. I want to tell you tonight, it's the Lord that prepares us a table in the presence of our enemy. Now, it's what he done. David had this in his mind, boy. He had no doubt, boys, what the Lord was talking about. David knew what he was talking about. He knew how a shepherd had to go ahead of his sheep and prepare the way. That lets me know several great truths. I don't have time to mention them all, but that lets me know one thing. The Lord ain't going to send us somewhere where he ain't already been and prepared the way. Brother, somebody said one time, it ain't scripture, but it sure is good. The Spirit of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. I believe that tonight. I don't believe God's ever going to put one of his children in a place where they can't live right. Think Brother Johnny's talking about over yonder in the concentration camps in Russia, how those Christians were treated. Brother, God's grace is sufficient even there. They're able to live for him. Now listen, a good example of this is what Jesus told Peter. Now, your mama's going to have to help us out here. There's too much moving around, too much running in and out. Listen, that Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, right? That he may sift you as wheat. But you know what the Lord said? Peter, I've done got the jump on him. I've already prayed for you. That your faith fail not. That's a blessing. The Lord knows you're going to mess up before you ever mess up, and he's going to forgive you before you even mess up. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith fall not, and when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. Isn't that amazing? God knows you're going to fall before you ever fall. Sometimes I fell flat on my face, and folks, I'm ashamed to admit it tonight. But I've sinned since I've been saved. One of the things that bother me and aggravate me and mess me up in my Christian life more than anything is the fact that I've sinned against God so many times. I mean low down, ungodly, wicked sin. You say, Pastor, you mean to tell me? Yes, I mean to tell you. I've committed wicked sin. I'm ashamed of it. Boy, I'll go begging the Lord and I say, oh God, I'm sorry, oh God, I'm sorry, oh God, I'm sorry, oh God. And it finally dawns on me that he knew I was going to do it before I ever did it.
Yeah.
And he picked me up and helped me and forgive me. Now that don't mean we shouldn't be sorry for it. But it knows the Lord's already prepared that thing for me and went ahead of me. I want you to know tonight, brother, he also had to watch out for wolves and coyotes and cougars and bears. Often these crafty creatures would come in and get a hold of the flock and they'd tie up 25 ewes before he could ever get them stopped. Brother, they'd tie them ewes' guts out and eat their liver and let the blood run down the bank. And before the shepherd could get the cougars or the bears stopped. Listen, folks, there's people in this world who are wolves. There's people in this world who are cougars. There's people in this world, brother, who, and I tell you, the ones you got to watch out for is the wolves in sheep's clothing. I like what old Brother Ruckman said. He said, hey, some of these old preachers, you know, they're slick, smooth-talking religionists. He said, there's one you better watch out for, a wolf in sheep's clothing. He said, nobody doesn't worry about him. He's a sheep in wolf's clothing. And I guess that's where a lot of us preachers seem sometimes. We sound so mean and so rough. People think that couldn't be a sheep. We're really a sheep. We just got wolf's clothing on. But listen, brother, you've got to watch out for them sheep or them wolves in sheep's clothing. They'll come in, brother, and get in among you and not spare the flock. And they'll come in and claim to be like you are. And they'll claim to be part of you. Can't you see an old cougar and he gets him a sheep suit on? I don't know if I can find me a sheep suit. This is really Mary's uniform for the manger. But let's just say he puts a sheep suit on and he comes creeping in there with the rest of the sheep. And they look around at him and say, well, I don't remember seeing him around here before. And somebody said, well, I guess the shepherd went out and bought him. And he gets over here and he says, hey, come over here. You want to have Bible study at my house? Come on over here. And brother, he gets over here and they have a little Bible study. And he said, you know, you're a preacher. He's a good man, but he's wrong on a few things. And I want to tell you something about that church and that group. And the first thing you know, boy, he's done corrupted you and corrupted this and corrupted that and corrupted the other. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's the one you got to watch out for. And the shepherd said, watch out for him. But I'm glad, brother, we know which ones are which. Not only those that are not in sheep's clothing, them that are in sheep's clothing, but them that are not in sheep's clothing. There's some wolves that don't care to put on a sheep's outfit. They'll let you know they're a wolf. They'll let you know right quickly that they're against you. Listen, whether you realize it or not, you've got some enemies. Don't you think since you got saved that everybody's going to pat you on the back and say, oh, how wonderful. So-and-so serving God. They ain't going to do it. You're going to have some enemies, friend. Mighty strong ones, too. There are people in McDowell County. I want you to get this, flock. Every one of you listen. Some of y'all sat there sometimes he's just preaching. He don't really mean it. I mean it. There are people in McDowell County, if they had their way about it and could get away with it, they'd shut the doors on this church. I mean, they'd shut them up and they'd lock them and they wouldn't be open next Sunday. Right here in McDowell County. You better believe I'm telling the truth. I heard the other day, I was getting a haircut and the man cut my hair and he said, I heard something bad about you the other day. People sure don't care to hurt your feelings these days, do they? And he proceeded to tell me how that somebody had said something terrible about us. And I kind of hum-hoed around, you know, and everything. And I explained to him. He didn't mean anything bad about it. Matter of fact, he even took up for me. And I told him I appreciated that. And I admire him for standing for what's right. He done the right thing. But you know what? The more I live, the longer I'm serving God, I found out there's people that are enemies of the church. They hate us. And if they had their way about it, there'd never be another song sung by this choir. There'd never be another message preached from this pulpit. There'd never be another class taught down here to these kids downstairs. They'd put us out of business. You say, well, what stops them? The shepherd. That's right, the shepherd. These people in Russia, brother, that would like to put every Bible preaching preacher out of business. Them people in Russia said, we long for the day when the last preacher is strangled on the altar by the guts of the last congressman in America. They hate us. They hate God's people. You know why we're still allowed to operate? You know why those doors flew open this morning on time? You know why the choir got up here and started off at 11 o'clock and we got in here, brother? It's because there's enemies all around this church, brother. And they compassed us about, evil, ungodly men. But the Lord put a little fence around us and, brother, His angels are between us and them. The angel of the Lord camps round about them that fear Him. And listen, friend, they might be all kinds of demons trying to get in, but the angels are between us and them. I was preaching on top of my van one time over in Asheville at the flea market. And when I got through, there's an old soldier of the cross came up. He said, young man, and I said, yes, sir. He said, I sure appreciate you what you're doing now. He said, boy, if God just opened your eyes and you could see all the powers of demons around here against you, you jump off that van. Well, he said that, I got scared. I mean, it's kind of scary just looking at them hoodlums people walking back and forth. And I don't know if that was before or after I had a little incident down here at the trade lot, but I kind of got to where, you know, I was watching the people, and then he comes up and tells me there's a bunch of demons that got to get me. And I just imagine big old green monster, big old bulgy eyes, and their claws about ready to get me. And I went, oh, no. Because I'd had a little incident down here at the trade lot one day. Up on top of mine just preaching away. Boy, I thought I was doing pretty good. And there's a guy came up and stuck his foot on the back bumper and had a big sign on the back of my van that said, "Jesus is coming soon, repent now." And he stuck his foot on the back of the bumper like that and had on a boot. And he pulled out a great big knife about that long. And he's just doing like this, sharpening it on his boot. And I kind of seen the boot that looked kind of strange. But I thought, he's probably bought him a knife down here and just won't sharpen it. And I got through. When I got through, I come down, started shaking some guy's hand. They said, "Yeah, enjoyed that preacher, enjoyed that preacher, enjoyed that preacher." I stuck out my hand to shake his hand, and he looked at me. He said, "You better be glad you quit when you did." I said, I sure was glad them brethren were standing around there. Brother James Ledford, some other guys standing around there. I said, "Well," he began to cuss, and he said, "Oh, it's a shame a poor man can't come down here and buy him a little something or other without somebody trying to cram religion down his throat." And I said, "Sir, I'm not trying to cram it down your throat. I mean, you don't have to listen if you don't want to. It's just available if you want to hear it." He said, "What are you talking about? It's banking off the mountains over yonder. Everybody down here can hear it." And somehow or another, next thing I know, he's gone. Boy, the next Saturday we was working up here at the church. All the preachers met and they was going to Trade Lot to preach. I called Brother Gene Goose in and I said, "Hey Gene, you better watch out. There's a wild man down there." He said, "I will be all right." Gene walked right up to that guy down there and tried to give him a track. Old Gene went out of here, boy, like he wasn't worried about it. He's one of the first ones Gene run into down there that next Saturday. He jerked out that same big knife, grabbed Gene by the collar right here, and right back, and said, "I'll cut your throat." And some old guy, a Christian down there, had a cane, and he raised it up, and he's going to hit him over the head with that cane. And somebody stopped and said, no, just calm down. And they finally got him calmed down. Now, don't you think, folks, there ain't some enemies out there. But as I sit on the van that day, Brother Lewis had a little encounter with him, too. He's working at the fish camp. Same guy. Man, that guy was weird. He came in, he called me and said, he's here. I said, "Give him a track." And then I thought I shouldn't do that to Brother Lou. I said, "Take it out and put it on his windshield." So he took one of them Christ Returns yellow newspapers. That's what it was. Put it out there on that guy's. The guy brought a shotgun in the fish camp. And set it down. Didn't he? Sure did. And he's trying to romance all the waitresses like, "Somebody's out of me, some Disney, well, I slip." Trying to talk like somebody from France. And you know what? He said he went out there as that guy was gone, and that yellow piece of paper was laying there in a million pieces. These people that hate the gospel. They hate the church. They hate me. They hate you. I've always been a person that likes friends. I want people to like me. And one of the hardest things of my ministry is, and I'll be honest with you, it hurts, is when I walk down Main Street in Marion, and I know these people are pointing and are talking. I seen them in the parade yesterday. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord's given me some friends, and I appreciate them. But it hurts me to know I've got bitter enemies. But I was on the van that day, and that man said all them demons around there, and I got scared. Then a verse of Scripture came to my mind that said, "The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear Him." And I said, "But wait a minute, I'm insulated with these angels. And the demons can't come to me, so they get to them angels. They got to come through them. They can't nothing happen to me. The Lord gets through with me." And I want you to know tonight, folks, that He prepared me a table right in the presence of mine enemies. They hate us, but the Lord's on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now listen. These been people tried to sue churches and take them to court. And before the court came to trial, them people was in the graveyard. Time after time after time, when somebody said, "I'll be an enemy of God," you know what the Lord done? He jerked them weeds up. Our shepherd went ahead of us. And he said, them people need a table down there. And he's looking down on Marion, North Carolina. And he said, I'm going to prepare them a table right there in that old warehouse building on East Court Street so that they can come and eat. And brother, if there's a weed around, the shepherd will jerk it up. He has to. He's a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to eat weeds. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to get poisoned. All you got to do is stay right with Him. He'll jerk the weeds up. You can see the merciless attacks of Satan on our society. Kids on school, all they hear is the good parts of sin, the front side. I think we ought to take our kids and put them on the bus. And all you parents ought to make sure yours goes. And take them on a tour through Broughton Hospital. And through Western Carolina Center. And through one of the jails or prisons. Let them see what sin's done to this world. Let them see the truth. You say, oh, they'd have nightmares. Ain't something the matter with you. You let them see that other junk gives them nightmares and a dirty mind, too. You got people that'll let their kids watch not slander and won't let them come see the burning hell. Let me tell you folks something. Something like that 10,000 times worse on a kid than seeing the real picture of hell. I want to tell you, brother, you better find out where the real enemy is. It's sweet. It looks good. It's cute. It looks desired. You know what Eve ate? You know how come Eve ate that fruit? The first sin that committed on this earth? You know why she done it? It wasn't ugly and hateful and ugly and hideous and nasty and wicked looking. It was a tree to be desired. She desired it. It looked good. She wanted it. And the sociologist and the professors told her, don't deny yourself your natural desire. Amen. Situation ethics teach you, Eve, that you should fulfill. Don't be suppressed by religion you learned from your grandmother. Throw away all these inhibitions, Eve, amen, and these old religious beliefs, and let yourself go. Be free. Be liberated. Do what you want to do. Yeah, look what a mess it got us in there. You know what the first thing the devil ever done? Liberated the woman. And that's one of the last things he'll ever get to do. He started on it right now. Listen. Predators pick sheep. I want to tell you folks something. When you deacons run out there and there's some kids running in and out outside, how about y'all going out checking on them? Predators. You know who the cougars get? You know who the lions get? The tigers get? Okay, here's the flock. Okay, give me my flock of sheep up here. I need you in a second. All right, all y'all be the flock. Y'all come on up here. Here's the flock. Three or four more of you come over here. Now, y'all just bunch up there together. All right, now look at these sheep, boy. Yeah, I don't know who their shepherd is, but they look pretty measly to me. And all right, here's this group of sheep here. Now listen, bunch up just in a little circle out. Now, Orlean, you come over here. Now you start nibbling around over here. All right, now listen. Just stay right there where you're at. Here comes the shepherd. The shepherd says, all right, let's go, sheep. Now all of you start following me. Here we're going up to the tablelands. Now, he's a nibbling off. Now listen, stay right there. If you was a cougar or if you was a bear, and you start sneaking up to get one of them sheep, which one would you get? You'd say, he ain't getting him. And you'd and get him like that. And your claws would sink down in him. And brother, the first thing you know, you'd drag him off and that sheep wouldn't even know nothing about it. That's right. Okay, y'all sit down just a minute. Now listen, you know which one the devil's going to get? The tighter you get in here, and the more services you come to, and the more you study the Bible, and the closer into the middle of this thing you get, the less chances you are of having been picked off by the devil. I'll tell you who backslides. You want me to tell you? I'll tell you right now. It's them that fool around on the edge and nibble around out there and go to ball games when we're having church and go skating when we're having prayer meetings. That's who backslides. I ain't never seen nobody that come to church every service and stay on their knees and stay in that book and not miss church that backslid. I could write you a book on Sunday night that missed church regularly and didn't stay with the group that backslid. Now see, there's nothing wrong with him eating that grass over there, are there? You say, you turn ball games to sin. Sure it isn't. Ain't a thing in the world eating with that grass over here. The only thing is, he got out there too far away from the flock and got picked off. Now listen, if you want to get picked off by the devil, you just start straying and get away from the rest of the flock. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm scared to miss church. I really am. I'll be honest with you. I don't consider myself that spiritual. I don't think I'm so spiritual that I can do without it. It scares me to think about missing church. You say, oh, you're just saying that because I'm a preacher. I was that way before I started preaching. I saved 11 months before I started preaching, but I didn't miss services at our church. I worked second shift for a while, had other two or three things happen. I learned right quick, you don't miss church. You don't miss Sunday school. You don't miss preaching. You don't miss Sunday night. You don't leave after Sunday school. That's a low-down sin, ain't it? That's low-down sin. Leaving after Sunday school. Unless you're sick and about to die, brother, there's something matter with this outfit that'll just come to Sunday school and then hit the door. In some churches, thank God it ain't that way here. I appreciate the way you folks. I'm glad you ain't found that out yet. Probably shouldn't even mention it. Somebody just give some of them an idea right then, didn't I? But you know what? Some churches have a completely different congregation. They have one crowd come in Sunday school and they all leave, and another crowd comes in for preaching. That's the easy way to get picked off. And did you know, a sheep, there's something about a sheep, when a tiger gets it, it just gets dumb. Now, I mean dumb like, you know, can't talk dumb. And it just freezes. And the tiger gets it. Or the bear gets it, and drags it off and kills it. And the only hope that sheep's got is a cry for help. If it don't send up a cry for help, the coyote or the cougar drags it off to the bushes. You listen, if you feel yourself slipping, don't wait and see if it works out all right. Cry out right then. Cry out to God. Cry out to me. I've had people at backslid say, well, Brother Danny, I was going to call you, but I didn't want to bother me. Bother me, brother. Bother me. I want to be bothered. You bother me a lot more by going ahead and backsliding. Can you imagine that? I backslid because I didn't want to bother you. That's the way to really give me gray hairs. If you feel yourself being tempted in the middle of the night and you don't think you can stand it, you dial my number and say, help! And boy, I'll get the word of God and I'll come right there wherever you're at. We'll get down and we'll plead the blood and we'll run the cougar off. That's right. Listen, cry for help! They sometimes you can't make it by yourself. Well, I tell you, I've been in some places where I was scared to be by myself. Thank God there's a brother with me. If one lays alone, he ain't got no heat. Two walk together. If one stumble, the other can pick them up. That's why you need your church. You need you a church that you can be a part of and a part of the group. You just get right in the middle of it. Say, boy, I want to get in here. Nobody in here is so spiritual that you don't have to worry about falling. The Christian life is not all fun. There's poison weeds in green pastures. Do you know that? There's gladness with sadness. There's poison weeds in the pasture. There's dark days and delightful days. There's sunshine and shadows. Stay close to the shepherd. I want to tell everybody in here right quickly, especially new converts, how to stay right with God while I'm still talking about this first point. Three things you can do to stay right with God. If you'll do these three things, you'll stay right with God. Number one, talk to God every day. Talk to Him every single day. Don't let a day go by without talking to Him. And I don't mean, now lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord, your mind's out there on the golf course somewhere. Talk to God. Where's Carrie at? Carrie, stand up just a second. What if every night before she went to bed, I said, Carrie, I love you. Thou art the sweetest little girl I could ever have. I appreciate God giving you to me. Thank you. Good night. And the next night, I came in and I said, Carrie, I love thee. Thou art the sweetest little girl I have ever known. I appreciate thee. Where's your mommy at anyway? In the nursery? Okay, she's in there. I was going to do her. I didn't see her back there nowhere. And she says, after a while, she's going to start thinking, he don't mean that. Because over here, one night I come in there and I'm reading a book and I said, Carrie, I love thee. Thou art the sweetest little girl I've ever had in my life. I thank God. And first thing you know, she ain't going to believe that. My heart ain't in it. So I go in there and I look at her. I say, honey, I love you. You know Daddy loves you. Boy, she just starts snuggling up to me. She does that every night. The reason she does is because she don't want to go to bed. And she thinks if she can get real sweet, I'll stay up and talk to her for a little while. So I need to assure her my love. Okay, sit down, honey. That's where you need to do God. Can you imagine how the Lord feels? We come in there and we got our mind already out there in the car going down the road. What we're going to do when we get to work? We say, oh, Holy Father, I thank you. Bless Mama, bless Daddy. Lord, supply our needs today. Thank you. Forgive us all the sin. In Jesus' name, amen. You say the very same thing next morning. The very same thing the next morning. That's one of the hardest things in my Christian life is to keep from falling into a rut and repetition in my prayer. Vain repetition. Nothing wrong with repetition. Nothing wrong with praying the same thing a million times, but just not vain repetition. See, empty. Your heart's got to be in it. Vain means empty. There's nothing wrong with saying, oh Lord, I love you, oh Lord, I love you a million times if your heart's in it. But the Lord said, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. Oh, holy this, that. Memorize a bunch of stuff, saying it over and over and over, Twitty beads, Hail Mary full of grapes, all that kind of stuff. The Lord said, don't do that. It's vain repetition. And the Lord said, speak to God right out of your heart. If you want to stay right with God, talk to God every day. Amen. The second thing to stay right with God is let God talk to you. Not only just talk to God, let God talk to you. You know how God talks to you? Somebody said, through the PPL. No. I said, you know how God talks to you? Somebody says, He comes in visions in the night. No, that's because you eat too many hot dogs and sauerkraut before you went to bed. You know how God talks to you? Through the book. That's how God talks to you. And if you want to be a weak Christian, just lay that thing down when you go home tonight and don't pick it up till Wednesday evening until time to come back. Matter of fact, let me say this. If you don't pick it up between now and Wednesday, you probably won't even come Wednesday night. That's right. And that's why you don't come Wednesday. You don't let God talk to you every day. The third thing. First thing, talk to God. Second thing, let God talk to you. Third thing, talk to someone else for God. You do them three things every day faithfully, and you ain't going to mess up long. You ain't going to mess up. The devil may tempt you, and you may stumble a little bit, but you ain't going all the way back and see him. Pray every day. Let God talk to you every day. Read the Bible and find somebody and talk to God. Talk to, about God to them and for God to them. All right, right quickly tonight, the second part of the verse says, Thou anointest my head with oil. What does that mean? My cup runneth over. Does that mean that the Lord put David down, poured oil all over his head, and put a cup underneath it? When all dripped out, the cup got full and it run over? Does that mean an inward cup inside of us? What is he saying there? All right. In this psalm, he's recounting, remember, a full year in the life of a sheep. Now stay with me or you ain't going to understand this last part. It started out back here in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Make me lie down in green pastures. Leading me beside the still waters. That's springtime. Yea, Lord, to the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil for thou art with me. Mountains on both sides, over the mountain, going up to the high tableland. By the time you get to verse number 5, you're up here in the mountains. It's midsummer. And he said in verse 5, in midsummer, up on the tableland, thou anointest my head with oil. He didn't say you anointed my head with oil back here in the winter. He didn't say you anointed my head here in the spring. You get your head anointed with oil in the summertime. Now, the ranch, the green pastures, the still waters, All these things represent different parts of the year. In here, in this verse, it's summertime. Now, summertime is always represented, and I don't really know how this came to be, but I believe God is in it. I don't really know that much scriptural basis for it, but I believe it's God. I believe God's in this thing. I've heard preachers preach ever since I've been saved that an old church where there wasn't nothing going on, they call that a cold, dead church. And I don't know how that got started, but it just called spiritually cold. Spiritually warm weather is considered in a good church. See? If God's blessing, people are getting saved, and the Lord's Spirit is moving, that's warm weather, spiritually. That's why when you go up to the synagogue somewhere, and they build them things up so they'll sound spooky. Build them real high, 40-mile ceiling, about as wide as this church here. The ceiling reach up about a half a mile. And build it so it'll sound like this.
And God loves us all.
And that's the way it sounds in there. Like a monastery. You know what comes in a monastery? Monasters. And somebody said that monasteries was home for unwed fathers. But listen. Listen. A church that's on fire for God, they say, man, that was a hot service. Boy, the Lord moved. I even knew this guy one time, and he's wrong by doing this. But he thought, this is true, right after we first got saved, these boys had some wild ideas. He thought that before service, you're supposed to go in there and turn the heat up real hot, get it about 90 degrees in the church. He said, we got to get them loose. And boy, on the first song, you stand up and everybody just sweat running off them. He said, the Lord can move in when it's real hot like that. Now, I don't believe that. I mean, but really when you start thinking about it, if it was about 20 below zero in here, y'all wouldn't be as comfortable as you are right now, right? You like a certain amount of warmness. Now, a hot church is considered a church where God's moving. A church with a great big cold synagogue where there's no life and no power of God, that's considered a cold church. Now listen, summertime is considered when God's moving. Now, you know how come we have problems in this church and problems in any church where something's going on? Because when the weather gets warm, the snakes start crawling. Ain't no snakes in the wintertime. But when that weather gets warm, that sun comes up, and snakes start crawling, boy. And when God begins to bless the church, you can be sure the demons are on the way. You know how come the certain great big churches never have any problems? The devil don't even bother to go by. He ain't even worried about visiting them. The demon says, how about over here? You want me to go over there? He says, they ain't even know you can bother them. Them people, they ain't going to do nothing. We got them. Yeah, right. Go over here where the Word of God's being preached. Go over here where somebody's getting saved. That's how come some of you get fought so much. You have so much trouble. And because the demons come out when the weather gets warm. And I said all that to say this. You're up here on top of the tableland. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. Summertime is characterized by two things. First of all, summertime is fly time. The flies, oh my soul. I really believe flies are types of demons. I really do. You might think I'm crazy. I didn't say there's demons. No, I believe they're types. Why else would the Lord create them? You tell me one good reason why the Lord could have created, unless it wasn't for a type of something like that. What purpose are they? I reckon they might have something that they do that turns out good once in a while, but I ain't never seen it. As far as I'm concerned, they're a type of demons. You ever wondered why Beelzebub means Lord of Flies? Wonder why that means that? Summertime is fly time. Now, hordes of millions of insects swarm in on a livestock in the summer. Here's the sheep. They're out here grazing in the pasture. And all of a sudden the weather gets warm and just thousands of flies come in. Let me say right briefly, all the different kinds of flies that get cheap. Warble flies, vot flies. Can't you just see them? Heel flies, nasal flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes and gnats. And they torture the sheep. The worst ones are the nasal flies. Just hold your horses there a minute. You may be excused, some of you ladies. They buzz and buzz around the sheep's head. I remember when I used to go swimming all the time. Y'all remember how it was? You're swimming down at the lake, somewhere you pull, that big old horse fly come around. It won't get around your foot. It'll get around your head. And I feel them biting my head. I used to hit my head out here at the top of the pool. I used to hit my head all day long. Hitting them things. Boy, pow! You finally get one there, you lay over on the floor. Blood all coming out of it. Great big fly. They like to get around them heads. And they swarm around and around. The sheep's head, say that microphone, the sheep's head, they go, and what they're trying to do is get in one of them holes, his ears or his nose. Now, a nasal fly, they like to get in a sheep's nose and deposit their eggs in the mucous membrane in the sheep's nose. That's right. If you don't know what that is, we had another word for it. That rhymes with shop when I was growing up. And the nasal flies get in the mucous membrane, go up in the nose, and legs in the mucous membrane. Now, that's pretty bad, but that ain't the worst part. When them eggs hatch, there come out a tiny worm-like larva. Just little worms. And they begin to work their way up in there. And go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper back in their head. They do. They bang in the sheep's nose and in his head, brother. And that causes intense irritation and severe inflammation. It gets inflamed in there. Now, when that happens, like I said the other day, sheep can't blow their nose. Sheep can't get clean up. You know, try to stick a hoof up in there and try to pull out something. Sheep can't do it, brother. They just got 4 feet. They got no way of doing it. So here's what they do. For relief, a sheep will nearly do anything. Laid eggs, worms eating down in their head. And brother, the pain gets so bad that the sheep can't lie down in green pastures. The sheep can't eat. The sheep can't sleep. And the sheep will literally go over and beat their heads against the tree. Bow, bow, bow for relief. Beat it on rocks. Beat it on fence posts. And even kill itself. Sheep have been known to kill themselves for the torture they went through in their mind. Somebody asked me, did I believe a Christian could get so bad off they commit suicide? I said, you better believe it, brother. You better believe it. I know it. Well, I'm not going to say how many, but I've known them where I believe that very well is the case. Lady said, where does a man go if he kills himself? I said, if he's saved, he goes to heaven.
Amen.
You say, well, who did that? Samson.
Amen.
Ain't that right? Didn't Samson kill himself?
Yeah.
It all depends on whether you want a gods. Somebody said, a Christian can't. Oh, yes, a sheep can get so irritated, they'll run into rocks and kill theirself. Listen, you don't know very much. You're not a very educated Christian. I don't say you ain't been to school. There's plenty of Christians been to school and got a degree that ain't educated the Christian life. You're not a very educated Christian if you don't know that you can get so messed up and so tormented and so bothered that, brother, you just wish God would take you on and end it all right there. I stand before you here tonight. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I feel wonderful. Mentally, physically, spiritually, every way, other way you can feel. I feel fine. Nothing bothered me at all. You know, my regular burdens and problems, but as far as physically and mentally, I feel fine. But there has been times in my life, brother, there's been times in my life when it absolutely felt like that something is in my head driving me crazy. I remember getting down in my mom's basement over there. After I'd been saved about a year, I was struggling with sin. The demons had got in my mind. And that's where the demons work on us here in America, brother. In your mind. We're not being locked up in concentration camp, having our arms cut off and feet. I tell you how the devil's working on you and me, on our mind. That's how he's doing it. And brother, mess up your mind. Put dirty things in your mind and sinful thoughts in your mind and doubts about the Word of God in your mind and doubts about the second coming and doubts about the blood. And he'll work on your mind, brother. And I've got down there before and I said, God, I know I shouldn't think like this. I know I'm wrong. And it just seemed like I'm about to die. And I just felt like beating my head up against the wall. That was demons tormenting my mind. They can get in you. Some sheep, the infection leads to blindness. That's right. Oh, that breaks my heart tonight. We've got sheep that are members of this church. I know some. I can tell you their name right now. Some of them may even be here tonight. The devil got in and infected your brain. And it's led to blindness. You know what blindness is? You can't see. You can't see no more. You can't see Jesus. You can't see nothing through the Word of God. You're blind. Infection leads to blindness. Some sheep run. They get these things in them and they can't do nothing with it. So they just start running blindly off and run off a cliff or something. I saw young girls get on fire for God and come into church. Boy, just live right for a while and do real good. Then the next time I see them, I notice they don't look right. The eyes ain't right. They don't laugh in church. They're one of the first ones to leave, go out the door. That bothers me. When I see a teenage girl do that, that bothers me. Something tells me a fly has got in her nose and deposited his ungodly eggs in there, and she's allowed it. It was a fly shaped like a boyfriend. It's a fly shaped like a job. It's a fly shaped like a money or a position or a cosmetology class or something where the demons got in. And the next thing you know, she runs off and does something crazy. Winds up marrying somebody, ain't even saved. You ever seen them do that? You know what happens? The flies get in them. Summertime is fly time. You know what? We have summertime around this church a lot. You better be awful careful. The demons are going to be buzzing around in here all the time. And if you don't intend on ever living right, you could be in a pretty dangerous position sitting here tonight. Like the bird of paradise, brother. Fly up your nose. I ain't never thought about that, but I wonder, demons may enter people that way. Who knows? I don't know. I've seen some pretty raunchy looking stuff come out. That may be the way they get in. I don't know. Here's the way some sheep do. Some sheep, when they get these warble flies in them and the worms go up in there, they just toss their head. You see them all day. They just do like this. So if you go by a pasture sheep and see one of them doing that, you know what's wrong with it. Unsettled, unsatisfied. No peace. All this affects the entire flock. So what the shepherd does is he takes linseed oil. That's right. He carries it with him. And he takes it up there, and he gets that sheep down, and he just dumps it. Pours it up in his nose, in his ears, and applies that oil, and it gets rid of them things. Somebody tell me what the oil is in the Bible. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. You know how to get rid of them petty annoyances. You know how to get rid of them demons that's bothering you? Well, it sure ain't what some of you's doing. I'll tell you how to get rid of them demons that's bothering you. Let the shepherd anoint you with oil. You say, oh, preacher, I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved. Yeah, there's a group in our day that believes that you get the feel with the Spirit one time and that's it. Uh-uh, that ain't it. The Bible said, be ye filled with the Spirit. Brother, you get filled with the Spirit over and over and over and over and over. Now the Holy Ghost comes in you the second you get saved. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. The Holy Ghost puts you in the body of Christ, and brother, you are baptized with the Holy Ghost right then the second you get saved, and then every day after that you ask God to fill you with His Spirit. I know from personal experience tonight, they've been little demons bothered me and aggravated me, and it was for one reason and one reason only, is because I hadn't got up that morning and asked the shepherd to anoint my head with oil and keep the demons away from me and out of my mind and out of my thoughts. And because of that, brother, I had to warble fly at my nose and put the most ungodly little worms in me and just aggravate me. And every time I try to read the Bible, I couldn't. Every time I try to get a blessed church, I just couldn't. Them things just driving me crazy. And I'd say, oh Lord, anoint my head with oil. And did you know what? That kills all them flies. And a fly won't get on that oil. Can't stand it. Can't stand it. That's what you call being bugged. What's bugging you tonight? Anything bugging you? I'll tell you how to fix it. Let the shepherd anoint you with oil. Not just once. Every day. Secondly, right quickly, and I'm going to say this, and I'm through tonight. Summertime is scab time. They get scabs on them. Right? Now, the one thing about these scabs, they're caused by little parasites. Reproduction, once again, warm weather. Now, what they do, they cause scabs to get on you. These scabs are highly contagious. One sheep can catch them from another sheep. So what it is, one sheep goes over here and he gets contaminated. Then he comes in with the rest of the flock and fellowships.